In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, there's hardly any truth of Catholicism that's so distorted or misunderstood as a doctrine involved in devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Protestants incessantly proclaim that devotion to Mary is given undeserved prominence in Catholic life and worship. Are the Protestant objections justified? To borrow an analogy from Cardinal Wiseman, the doctrines of the Catholic Church often produces on non-Catholics the same effect that stained glass windows may produce on a passerby outside. From the outside, the church windows appear as a mottled form of grotesque and unintelligible figures, leaving a false impression on what they represent. As you enter the church, you immediately notice the difference. Every window is gorgeous, representing some scene in the life of Christ or the saints. The forms and figures stand out resplendent in all the naturalness of life. Each picture is a work of art. Thus it is with many points of Catholic doctrine, particularly devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Within the fold of the Catholic Church, the impression is entirely different, as innumerable converts have attested. For Catholics, Jesus Christ is the center and source of salvation, the center and source of our adoration and worship. We adore Christ as our God and Redeemer. No one else can take his place. We love our Lord above everything else in the world, and because we love him, we love and honor all those whom he loves and honors. Whom did Christ love and honor quite so much as his own Blessed Mother? What son would be satisfied with the love and friendship of another if at the same time the other slighted or scorned his mother? Christ, who is perfect man as well as perfect God, thought no less of his own dear mother than we do of ours, and most certainly expects that if we love and honor him, we love and honor his mother also. Even if Scripture said not a word about the mother of Jesus, the natural instinct of the human heart would reach out in gratitude to such a benefactor and love her for what she has given us, the Lord and Redeemer of our immortal souls. From the crib to the cross, wherever we see Christ, there too beside him do we see his Blessed Mother. She is the mother of Christ, and for that reason, we love her truly. Further than this, Mary is not only the mother of Jesus, but in a very special sense, she is our mother also, given to us as such by Christ himself. And for that reason, we love her all the more. As she stood beneath the cross with St. John by her side, the dying Savior looked upon them both and said to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." And then to St. John, he said, "Behold thy mother. Behold thy mother." St. John stood beneath the cross as representative of the whole human race, and in him, the human race received that legacy of love from the Savior himself, his own Blessed Mother. In the words of St. Paul, are not all the followers of Christ one with Christ and members of his mystical body? He is the firstborn among many brethren. His Father in heaven is our Father. What more natural than that Mary, his earthly mother, should be our mother also? We are most dear to her because we are most dear to him. She looks upon us as her children, loves us, and by her powerful prayers and intercession secures from her divine Son those heavenly helps we need to reach our eternal destiny. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary has elevated women to the high dignity that is hers in Christian society. It has sanctified marriage. It has inspired millions to imitate Our Lady and to consecrate themselves to God by the vow of virginity. It has helped countless persons to observe Christ's ideal of chastity, that noblest victory of the spirit over the flesh. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary has inspired the brush of the painter and guided the hand of the sculptor to portray the Redeemer in the arms of his mother. Music is richer for it. The Ave Maria retains its pristine beauty. Her rosary is universally recited. The Mother of God glorified the world over, thus fulfilling her prophetic words. Henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Protestants often ask, why does your church make so much of Mary? The Bible has very little to say about her. We do not measure the value of a painting by the number of square feet of canvas it covers. Neither should we measure the dignity of a Bible character by the number of words expended on him or her. A single sentence may carry more weight and worth than a whole book. Here are some texts that speak volumes. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And then in the genealogy of St. Matthew, it says, Mary, and of her was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And then in the first chapter of St. John, the Word was made flesh. And we know that took place through Mary and dwelt among us. And then lastly, St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman. 33 verses of the first chapter of St. Luke are devoted to Mary. An archangel is sent from heaven to honor her in the name of God, to pronounce her blessed among women, and to acquaint her with the lofty dignity and signal honor to which God has deigned to raise her. This is surely reason sufficient to explain the attitude of the Catholic Church to the Mother of our Savior. Tribute to whom tribute is due, as St. Paul says in his Epistle to the Romans. I'd just like to close with a story which shows how far the tenderness of our Heavenly Mother goes for her children at the time of death. The pastor of a certain country village was called to assist the deathbed of a very rich parishioner. The house was beautifully furnished. Servants, relatives, and many friends stood at the bedside, but the good priest also saw devils in the form of black dogs waiting to snatch the man's soul. Snatch it they did, for the man died in the state of mortal sin. While this was happening, the pastor was also called by a poor woman who lay dying and wanted to receive the sacraments. Since he could not leave the rich man who was in so much need of spiritual help, the pastor sent another priest who took the pyx with the Blessed Sacrament and went to the home of the poor woman. What a contrast! No servants here, no relatives, no costly furniture, just a few scattered articles. And the dying woman laying on a pallet of straw. But as he entered the door, a great light filled the room. Near the poor dying patient, the priest saw the Mother of God consoling her and wiping the perspiration of death from the woman's forehead. At first, the priest was loath to enter, but Mary made a sign and bade him come and hear the woman's confession. Mary herself placed a chair for him at the woman's bedside. The poor woman made her confession, received Holy Communion most devoutly, and happily breathed her soul into Mary's arms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.